Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chava Baja. And last week, we spoke a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, but we really didn't talk much about it. So today, we're really going to go in depth. So today, I want to talk about two main things. One, we're going to talk a little bit about trades because the trade deadline is coming up on February 10th. So we're inching closer and closer, and there is quite a bit of buzz going on around the league as to, possible trade targets and stuff like that. And then after we talk about trades, I want to talk about the All-Star starters. Last week on NBA on TNT, they announced the starters for the All-Star game. There's a little bit of controversy going on in that, so I am going to go over that. So first off, like I said, the NBA trade deadline is coming up on February 10th. And right now there's a little bit of buzz going on. So first off, I'm going to start out with this team because there was a little bit of information thrown out today. So I want to talk about the Washington Wizards. Now, they started off really hot during the season. To the point that they were first seed in the East for, quite a while, to the point that it didn't seem like a fluke. Now, obviously, the big offseason trade was trading away Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. And in return, they got guys like Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They got Montrezl Harrell. They got Spencer Dinwiddie in the offseason via free agency. And then, of course, Bradley Beal, who is still on the team, who it seems like he has been in the league for what seems like a decade now. But he hasn't been. He's about 27 years old. But anyways, so the reason I wanted to talk about this team is because it was thrown out there that the Washington Wizards may be shopping Spencer Dinwiddie, which seems odd because, Spencer Dinwiddie, like I said, he was their big free agency signing. And he was looked at as the future point guard for this team. Now, Spencer Dinwiddie has been a little bit disappointing. He's only averaging 13.2 points, 4.5 rebounds, and around 5 assists. Now, one big thing is that today it came out that his teammates in Washington don't get along that well with him. So obviously that's a bad thing from the get-go. You always want, especially your point guard, to get along with your team, considering, he's basically the general running the offense. So you don't want to have a guy like that hurting your team chemistry. So it'd be interesting to see, what team might be able to go after him, what team is willing to go after him, and what Washington is really looking for in return. Now, a team that I could see going after him, or really a great fit, would be the Boston Celtics, which I will go over the Celtics a little bit later. I think that he would be a great fit there. Again, I don't know. It hasn't really been thrown out there as to what the Wizards would be looking for in terms of a trade package for Spencer Dinwiddie. So that is something to keep an eye out, and I will obviously do that, and I'll report it next time. Now, another thing is obviously Bradley Beal, who can re-sign in the offseason for a Supermax. Now, that's around a $250, $270 million deal. And Bradley Beal has been a little bit underwhelming this season. He hasn't really played that well. He's averaging around 23 points, 4.7 rebounds, 6.6 assists. His defense is not great. Going from you know, almost being the scoring leader last season, except right up until the last week of the season is when Steph Curry really took over, and that's how he became the scoring leader. But Bradley Beal, was right there. And so this season, like I said, has been pretty underwhelming. Now, like I said, he will be eligible for that Supermax. And that right there is a problem. That's something that Washington has to think. Does Washington really want to re-sign him? Like I said, underwhelming. He's getting older. Like I said, it seems like he's been in the league for a decade now, but he's still, you know, pretty young. But, you know, Bradley Beal is a guy that's been in trade talks, what seems like for the last 4 years. You know, and the time to trade is now if you're Washington. I mean, obviously he's loyal, almost to a fault. But is Washington going to be loyal? You know, Washington has to obviously look out for their interests. And, you know, right now they have a younger team. And they should build around that rather than Bradley Beal. In my opinion, they should trade Bradley because his value may keep going down. You know, I don't think he's ever going to get back to, you know, the way he was playing last year. And also keep in mind, he's a guy that's been injured quite a bit. So, you know, something to keep an eye out. But yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie and Bradley Beal are something to keep a lookout on. So next I want to talk about the Sacramento Kings. So Sacramento has been really involved in trade talks. Really what got them involved was Ben Simmons. Now it was said that for a Ben Simmons trade, obviously, you'd have to be De'Aaron Fox, probably Harrison Barnes, some sort of thing like that. Now, De'Aaron Fox is a good player, but I also think that he's a good stats, bad team type of guy. He is averaging 21 points, 3.8 rebounds, and around 5 assists, which is good, but his shooting percentages are not great. He's not very reliable. At the end of games, he does not make good decisions, which obviously you want your point guard to make good decisions. And right now it is said that, you know, Sacramento has really pulled back from making a Ben Simmons sort of trade. So it's not really expected for them to follow that. De'Aaron Fox is probably someone that they should move on from, especially with a guy like Tyrese Halliburton and Davion Mitchell in the backcourt. That's their young duo. Halliburton, is incredible. He has a much higher upside than Fox as of right now. I think that the Kings could get, you know, not much value, but I think that they could get good value. Another guy is Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes averaging 16.5 points, 6 rebounds, around 2.4 assists. He started the season out great, what looked like it was going to be maybe his best season yet, and now he's, you know, regressed back to normal. You know, when you look at Harrison Barnes, he's on a favorable contract. So, you know, right now, I think that Sacramento should really look into trading. Now, this is another team that the Boston Celtics have been linked to, especially when it comes to Harrison Barnes. They've loved Harrison Barnes since last season. Sacramento, of course, did not do what probably should have been done last season, which is trade Harrison Barnes. His value last season around the trade deadline was sky high. They really could have gotten a lot. And right now, they obviously can't get as much. And then one last guy is Rishon Holmes. Now, Rishon Holmes, he is averaging around 12 points, 8 rebounds, around a block a game. But this has been a disappointing season for Rishon Holmes in Sacramento's eyes. So these are all guys that Sacramento should look at moving before the trade deadline. So that is something to keep an eye on. But like I said, Ben Simmons is probably not going to be going to Sacramento anytime soon. Now the next one is the Lakers. Now the Lakers are now 24-27, but what moves can they make? Now They have been involved. They have been mentioned a lot here during this trade buzz. But really, the only thing that you ever see them offering is the only thing they can offer, which is a trade package with Talen Horton-Tucker, Kendrick Nunn, and their 2027 first-round pick. Now, the Lakers are only eligible to trade one pick, and the only pick that they can trade is that 2027 first-round pick. You know, and really their 2027 first-round pick is probably the only thing with value. Talen Horton-Tucker was seen as, you know, their main trade asset other than the pick. Talen Horton-Tucker has not had a good season. He's shooting not well at all. He's not even shooting 30% from three. He's just not looking valuable, and it's not looking like they can get much back, especially if THT is the focus when it comes to a trade. So right now that 2027 pick is the most valuable part of any trade that the Lakers can make. Now, something to keep in mind, that 2027 first-round pick might actually be really valuable. Why? Because obviously, well, I'm not going to say obviously because you can never count out LeBron, but I'm going to go ahead and say that, you know, LeBron's probably most likely going to be retired by then. Anthony Davis is going to be 34 years old. What is going to happen with the Lakers by then? You know, with the way things are going, you know, they're already a super old team. And like I said, no LeBron, Anthony Davis, who is just injury-prone guy. I don't even know if he's going to be in the league by then. So, you know, your two marquee guys in LeBron and AD not being on the team, where is the team going to go? So that might look pretty, you know, pretty dim for the Lakers. So one thing to keep in mind for teams out there is that pick might be super valuable. Now, another thing is Russell Westbrook. Ironically enough, there is buzz that the Houston Rockets are open to trading John Wall to the Lakers for Russell Westbrook. Now, this would be really funny considering that the Houston Rockets already traded. Well, they already made a trade for Russell Westbrook, and that's how they got John Wall. Well, trading Russell to Washington, Washington got John Wall. Now, it is said, though, that in order for the Rockets to make any sort of trade for Westbrook, they're going to have to get that 2027 first-round pick. Now, if you're the Lakers, do you want to do that? John Wall, is he really going to be a nice fit? You know, when it comes to the Lakers trading Russell Westbrook, you have to see sometimes you're gaining by subtracting. And with Russell Westbrook, that might be the case. You know, I don't have to tell you that Russell Westbrook has been a disappointment for the Lakers. Turnovers galore. His shooting is not, he's not a good shooter. His defense is non-existent. So maybe getting a guy like John Wall will be a better fit. You know, John Wall isn't going to, you know, try and be the guy. So it's kind of interesting to see what the Lakers are going to do there. Now, LeBron is out right now with a knee injury. So like I said, he's getting older. So it's really interesting. Now, one thing that Bobby Marks said on the Low Post, he did introduce the idea of the Knicks trading for Russell Westbrook, which would be really interesting. Now, Bobby Marks is basically his reasoning for the Knicks trading for Russ is the fact that, you know, obviously the Knicks fan base are not happy with where things are going right now after having such a Cinderella type season last season. They are nowhere near that this season. The Knicks were expected to really you know, improve, possibly be around that 4 or 5 seed. And they are just nowhere near that right now. They have been a disappointment. Things not going well. I'm going to go get into the Knicks. Well, I guess I might as well go now. So, yeah. So the Knicks are not playing up to par to what they thought that they would. Julius Randle is not getting along with Knicks fans, and vice versa. Knicks fans are not happy with Julius Randle. Julius Randle obviously had an incredible season last year, to the point that he made the third team All-NBA. And with that, he got paid. He got paid a big amount, and he's not living up to that amount. So the Lakers right now, or excuse me, the Knicks right now have really, you know, they have a high salary. So the reasoning by Bobby Marks to trade for Russell Westbrook is to bring some new blood. You know, we know that Russell Westbrook is at least fun to watch. He's a guy that's not going to give up, and he's going to try and get the Knicks as many wins as he can. Now, sometimes we know that that isn't how things work out with Russell Westbrook, as you can see with the Lakers. But it's an interesting thought. Now, the Knicks would have to, you know, in order to give up Russell Westbrook, they would have to trade, probably make a package of like Evan Fournier, Alec Burks, and Kemba Walker, which is pretty, pretty dim if you're the Lakers, considering everything that they gave up for Russell Westbrook. And that's what they get in return, Fournier, Kemba, and Burks. So that's no good. Now, Julius Randle is eligible to be traded about a week before the trade deadline, around February 3rd or 4th, I believe. So we're just days away from that. If you go on NBA Twitter, you're going to see all sorts of proposals by Knicks fans and trading Julius Randle. So it's just not looking good if you are Julius Randle. Now, Julius Randle, like I said, isn't very happy with the fans. He's had some things where he waves to the crowd, to the Knicks fans, and saying that he doesn't want them to cheer for him because he doesn't feel like, you know, it's genuine, stuff like that. Now, the Knicks did trade about a month ago, 3-4 weeks ago. They did make a trade for Cam Reddish from the Hawks, and Cam Reddish has only played 5 minutes in that time span, which is interesting. But yeah, so the Knicks are something to look out for. You know, RJ Barrett has played really well, especially in these last about 3 weeks. He's really probably the best time of his career, the way he's been playing. But yeah, the Knicks, they need to do something. You know, like I said, they've really regressed from last season. And who knows, maybe getting a guy like Russell Westbrook, maybe it'll do the trick. You know, the Knicks are dying for a star. And while Russell Westbrook is a declining star, he's still a star. And he can still, you know, he's still pretty box office when he wants to be. Now, another team to talk about are the Utah Jazz. Unfortunately, Utah, Joe Ingles, he just got a big injury, so he is out for the season. So that's not good. And, you know, the Jazz have just not been playing well on the perimeter, defensively and offensively. I mean, when Gobert isn't in the game, it's awful. And then we, like last season or last playoffs, we saw that they're not good. Well, not good. Having Gobert isn't always ideal for the Jazz because they got exposed last playoffs. So pretty interesting. But, you know, I'm hearing that the Jazz are possibly interested in trading for maybe like a Josh Richardson from the Celtics, which is interesting. But mostly because of his perimeter play. We know that he's a good defender. He's not the best three-point shooter, although this season he's shooting well. It's also said that they might be going after a guy like Jeremy Grant for from Detroit. Again, perimeter oriented player. But yeah, and also the Jazz are quietly shopping Jordan Clarkson. They're trying to see, you know, what they can get in return for him, former six man. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, the Jazz, they really, really need some perimeter play, especially right now. They have been declining in this, basically in 2022. They have not been playing well. At a point, they had like a seven-game losing streak. It's just not good right now. So they really need to get, you know, Donovan Mitchell some help. But like I said, right now their focal point is the perimeter. They need to get guys on the perimeter, especially with Joe Ingles. Also, like I said, we were going to talk about the Boston Celtics. Right now they are about a 500 team. The number one thing that the Celtics need is a point guard. You know, it's still a question up in the air about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, whether they're a good duo, which I think that they can be. As of right now, they're not. But I think, you know, I think the answer is, you know, what I just said. They need a point guard. Jason Tatum is not a playmaker. We know that. He hasn't really improved from that perspective. Jaylen Brown is better at that than Jason Tatum. But look, these guys aren't that type of player. They're going to need a point guard. And I think once they do get that point guard, I think that's when they can really, really play at their peak. You know, Marcus Smart is reportedly the most likely player to be traded by the Celtics. Although Marcus Smart, his value has been going down. You know, he's been pretty vocal in his frustration with the Celtics sometimes, and his shooting has just gone down and down and down every season. So, you know, like I said, his value is not very high. So what all can they get? Dennis Schroeder, who they picked up with Dennis Schroeder, who they picked up in free agency. It is, from what I'm seeing, it's almost a given that the Celtics are going to trade him by the deadline. It's reported that, you know, they at least won a second round pick. Now, keep in mind that Dennis Schroeder is on a one-year deal. So he's also on a contract year, which means that, you know, wherever he's going to go, he's going to play his hardest because he wants to get paid in the offseason. Now, how much is he going to get paid? Who knows? But, you know, that's something you got to keep in mind. If you're a contender, if you want to trade for a guy like that, keep in mind, Dennis Schroeder already has a big personality in the sense that, you know, he likes being the guy. He likes to be the guy who's going to take the shot at the end. You know, he can be a little bit too forceful when it comes to taking shots and being the guy at the end of games. So, you know, maybe that can be a good thing, but that can also be a bad thing, you know. So that is something to keep an eye on. Now, I am seeing that a player that the Celtics are really interested in is a guy possibly like Jalen Brunson from the Dallas Mavericks. Like I said, he would be great. He would take a lot of pressure off of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Now, the one thing is that Jalen Brunson also is on a contract year. He's still on his rookie year. Right now, he's not even getting paid $2 million. But he's playing so well. In his time, while Luka was out in Dallas, Jalen Brunson was running the team, and he was averaging around 21 points and 7 assists in that time span. Obviously, that is something that really intrigues a team like Boston. But the one thing is that Jalen Brunson wants to get paid, like I said, during the offseason, and it is said that he is looking for around a four-year, $80 million deal. Can Boston do that? Is Boston willing to do that? That's something that they have to really look at, and they have about 10 days to do so. So that is something to keep an eye on. But like I said, Dennis Schroeder, it's almost I'm not going to say a given, but it is, from everything that you read, it is looked at that Dennis Schroeder will be moved by the deadline. Marcus Smart is a player likely to be traded if they do make some sort of trade. And some teams are, like the Utah Jazz, are interested in Josh Richardson. Finally, we have one more team to talk about, which is the Dallas Mavericks. Now, the Mavericks right now have two big decisions, actually, on what they're going to do by the trade deadline. Now, the two main players right now that are being discussed are, like I said, Jalen Brunson, and the other guy is Dorian Finney-Smith. Now, this is quite a predicament to be in if you're Dallas. Jalen Brunson, who is basically right now their second best player, and then Dorian Finney-Smith, who is arguably their most versatile player, their most consistent three-point shooter. And this is a guy that's been with them from the get-go. He was undrafted, and he's been with the Mavericks ever since, and he has really improved year after year after year. He's almost 30 years old, and he's still improving. This season, something that he's added to his arsenal is that he's actually, you know, handling the ball. Now, he's not great at it, but, you know, he can dribble the ball, go to the basket, you know, if he has to. Now, like I said, Jalen Brunson is looking for around a four-year, $80 million deal. Dorian Finney-Smith, I'm going to go ahead and take a guess that he's probably going to demand around a $10 to $15 million a year extension, either with the Mavs or if he signs with some other team. That is probably around what he's looking for. If it's my guess, he can probably give a little bit of a discount to Dallas if he stays in Dallas because he really likes it there. He gets along with Luka. So that is something to keep an eye out. Now, it is said that the Mavericks are right now, their main trade target is John Collins from the Atlanta Hawks. It's no secret that Atlanta right now is shopping around to see what they can get for some players. Now, keep in mind, the Hawks have to pay a lot of players during the offseason, including Trae Young, who signed his extension last offseason, but it doesn't go into effect till next season. So, you know, they can't afford all these guys. So they will be looking to trade. And like I said, one team looking at John Collins are the Dallas Mavericks. Now, the Mavs, something that they would ideally want is a three-point shooter and a big. You know, that is something that they would want. Probably another ball handler to help Jalen Brunson if it is that they don't trade him. And if they do trade him, then they really need a ball handler. Now, like I said, John Collins is a player that the Mavs are interested in. It was said that Miles Turner was another one who right now is out. Foot injury right now is looked at that the Mavericks have backed out from wanting to trade for Miles Turner. So you can scratch him off the board for them. One player other than John Collins that they're looking at trading for possibly is Jeremy Grant from the Detroit Pistons, who would give them that three-point shooting. He would give them defense, that perimeter play. So, yeah, but, you know, like I said, the Mavericks right now, their big decisions are on Jalen Brunson and Dorian Finney-Smith. Now, Luka's contract goes into effect next season, which he signed that $207 million max extension with Dallas. So that's going to go into effect next season. So just with that, you know, Porzingis is going to be getting paid around $35 million. Then add Luka, who's going to be paying 40 plus million, and then if they add Jalen Brunson, that's 20 million. Add Jalen Brunson at 20 million a year, that's $100 million just between Luka, Porzingis, and Brunson. So that would be a real big problem. So, like I said, if you're the Mavs, you should really look into trading Brunson, especially now his value is sky high. But Mark Stein did say today that the Mavericks are looking at keeping Brunson and Dorian Finney-Smith. And then in the offseason, they will ideally want to trade Tim Hardaway Jr. and Kristaps Porzingis somehow. Now, I did say ideally. It doesn't mean that that's officially their plan, but that is what they would ideally like to do. But, you know, Jalen Brunson did say that, you know, he would like to stay with Dallas if he can, and that he would ideally want to be with that, you know, he favors winning over just going to a team and being the guy. But he did say that he would like to stay in Dallas. So that is interesting and something to look at if you are the Mavs. So it's going to be really interesting. Now, another thing about Dallas is that they are really betting on this Goran Dragic thing. Now, it is said that there's some buzz and that some teams are interested in trading for Goran Dragic. Now, how realistic is that? I'm not sure. But, you know, the Mavs, ever since, you know, really offseason, they've been looking at Goran Dragic and wanting to pair him with Luka. Obviously, they're both from Slovenia. Goran Dragic is like Luka's big brother. So, you know, obviously he would be great with Dallas. He would really add that ball handling that they would want. And remember, just 18 months ago, Goran Dragic was the second best player on the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. So he would be a nice addition. Now, he hasn't played in months in Toronto. So that's something to keep an eye out. But it would nonetheless be interesting. Now, just another quick thing I want to add. Now, the Clippers are making some players available. The most available, reportedly, are Marcus Morris, Serge Ibaka, and Eric Bledsoe. Now, it's really interesting. Now, the Clippers haven't officially said, but, you know, obviously Paul George is injured, like I said in the last podcast. But it is expected for him to miss the rest of the season, which is probably smart considering Kawhi is probably not going to come back this season. So just let both of them rest, get fully healed, and then they can come back next season and really deliver a nice punch. But it's interesting, you know, because they should keep guys like Marcus Morris, in my opinion. Now, I think that they should trade Eric Bledsoe and Serge Ibaka, guys like that, possibly even Luke Kennard, and get someone back. Luke Kennard is on that $60 million deal. But still, it would be interesting to see what they do. Now, it is said that the Clippers have their eyes on a couple of point guards. The most rumored targets are Jalen Brunson from the Mavs that we just talked about, Kemba Walker from the Knicks, John Wall from the Rockets, Dennis Schroeder from the Celtics, Goran Dragic from the Raptors, and Spencer Dinwiddie from the Wizards. So that's going to be interesting. But yeah, so that's it on trade targets for right now. Now, last thing I wanted to touch on was the All-Star starters that were mentioned on NBA on TNT last week. So the Eastern Conference Finals, they added Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, DeMar DeRozan, and Trae Young. So those are the starters for the East. Embiid, who has been phenomenal, averaging around 29 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.5 blocks. He has the second best PER in the league, 31.54. He has been just absolutely incredible. Kevin Durant, obviously, was also averaging around 29 points. Unfortunately, he is injured and he is going to miss the All-Star. So it's going to be interesting to see who they add into his spot on the starters. Giannis, who is averaging also around 29 points, 11 rebounds, almost 6 assists. He's got a PER of 31.24, which is the third best. DeMar DeRozan, who has been incredible this season, who is averaging 26.4 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He has been incredible for the Bulls, definitely the best signing in the offseason. So kudos to DeRozan. And then Trae Young, who is averaging around 28 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists. He has been having a great season. Unfortunately, his team has not. You know, and this is what kind of bugs me. You know, everyone is praising Trae Young, as they should. He's been having a great season. But if you want to compare, let's say Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic got zero media votes because he's too fat. Well, Luka's averaging 25 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists in the season, and this is considered a bad season for Luka. And his team is 5th in the West. So why is Luka being punished when he's still got great numbers? His team is, you know, 5th seed, but Trae Young is being praised when he's got, yeah, great numbers, but his team is 11th in the East. I just don't get that. But nonetheless, it's a very nice starting lineup for the East. Now let's go to the West, which is where there's some controversy. So Jokic, LeBron, Steph Curry, Ja, which is his first All-Star game and as a starter. So congratulations to Ja Morant and Andrew Wiggins. So let's just go over the stats. So Jokic is averaging 26 points, almost 14 rebounds, almost 8 assists. He's got a 33.71 PER, which is first in the NBA and the best PER ever in NBA history. So he's been incredible. His team right now is 6th. LeBron, who is averaging around 29 points, 7.7 rebounds, 6.3 assists. Steph Curry, who is averaging 25.7 points, 5.5 rebounds, and a little over 6.3 assists. Ja Morant, like I said, who is right now averaging 26 points, 6 rebounds, almost 7 assists. And then, like I said, Andrew Wiggins, who is averaging 18 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. His PER is 16.73, which is 80th. 80th, not 18, 80th, 80 in the entire league. How is this man a starter? Which leads me to ask, should the NBA get rid of fan voting for the All-Star? Now, we saw this, 5 years ago with Zaza Pachulia, where he got a whole lot of fan votes. Obviously, they did not put him into the All-Star game. But, you know, this is ridiculous. Andrew Wiggins, I mean, look, Andrew Wiggins is a great, well, he's a good, really good player. He has been great for the Warriors. He's really improved. He's really found a home. He's great defensively. He actually looks like he cares, because when he was in Minnesota, it just looked like he was always coasting and just, you know. But, you know, Andrew Wiggins, a starter. Come on. If you're going to make it an All-Star, okay, make him a reserve. Don't make him a starter. Come on. Which is my second question. Should the NBA lower how much, you know, fan voting counts for? Now, fan votes count for 50% of votes. And then the other 50% is divided between the media and between other players around the league. But this is wrong. Andrew Wiggins should not be a starter. Congratulations to him, but this is not how this is supposed to go. So that's just unfortunate. It takes away from the significance of the All-Star. Now, me personally, I couldn't care less about All-Star games, really. You know, it's like the NFL Pro Bowl to me. What really matters is the All-NBA teams at the end of the season, which I can guarantee you Andrew Wiggins will not be on either. But, you know, it really does take away from other players the fact that, you know, they're making Andrew Wiggins an All-Star starter. That's just wrong. So, in my opinion, the NBA really needs to do something where, I don't know, fan votes could be low. Like I said, other players in the NBA, they vote for All-Stars. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they should count fan voting for 40%. And then the other players get 30%, and then media votes get 30%. It just can't be 50%. because this is what happened. So, but they will announce the reserves, I believe, tomorrow on NBA on TNT. So that's going to be interesting. So, yeah. But anyway, so that is all I have for you guys today, this episode. I will be back next week. And yeah, if you guys, again, have any questions, please hit us up on Twitter. Our Twitter is at TheBigShotPod. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything you want us to address, hit us up, send us a DM, mention us, whatever you got to do to get our attention, do it, and we will address your concern, comment, question here on the podcast. But that is all I have for you guys. Like I said, I will be back next week. And yeah, I'm really excited because next week, let's see here. Next week, I'm trying to see when. Okay, so February 10th falls on a Thursday. So I am going to post a new episode next week. It's going to be on Tuesday, but I'm probably going to do an emergency podcast on the 10th. But it'll probably come out Friday, so the 11th. So, yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. So it's going to be the normal podcast next week. It's going to come out on Tuesday, and then I'll have another podcast on Thursday because, like I said, the NBA trade deadline is the 10th, and then I want to have something posted on Friday just to give you guys an update on everything that happened. So, yeah, but anyways, so that is all I have for you guys this week. I will speak to you next week. Again, as always, I am your host, Shabba Baja, and please, like I said, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, hit us up on Twitter at TheBigShotPod. Again, our handle on Twitter is at TheBigShotPod. Like I said, I will address any comments, any questions that you have. I will address them on the next podcast. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. Again, I am your host, Shabba Baja, and thank you for listening to The Big Shot Pod. Have a good night, everyone.